It's good to be in church today, amen? Man, thank you all for joining us, whether you're with us in the live stream or you're here in person. God is moving in our church, and we are grateful for the fact that he has drawn us together in unity over one thing and one thing alone, Jesus Christ and his kingdom, amen? Well, last week we had an amazing message from Pastor Kirby talking about spirit, soul, and body and how you govern those, the flow of the Holy Spirit into your life is your choice and you get to govern your heart. So the message last week was you're the gatekeeper of your own heart. And if you have not heard that message, I would encourage you, go to our YouTube channel, get our app. You can get someone to help you find out all that information out in the foyer at the Connection Center. And please get really in touch with what was taught to us last week because it is really vital that you understand that in order to practice and participate in what I'm about to teach you today. The title of my message today is Kingdom Productivity. Could you say that with me? Kingdom Productivity. Now, this is a really cool graphic. If you can see right there at the bottom, right there, it says, it's not going to happen unless you speak up. That's why it is so important that we release our praise, we speak our declarations, we pray our prayers, and we speak words of faith every moment of our lives. The kingdom of God is voice activated. I'm going to prove that to you as best I can. Scripturally, there's a couple of key concepts that we've got to learn today. Number one is that the kingdom of God is voice activated. The word of God goes forth from our mouths. It's not good enough that somebody else said it. If it's going to happen in your life, it's going to be because you speak in agreement with the word of God over your life and your destiny. And then the other thing that's going to be really important today to understand is that we have been given authority, power, and dominion in Christ. So from the beginning, God's word and God's power to create came from his words being spoken. From the very beginning. Do you remember Genesis, in the beginning? God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know how he did that? With his mouth. He spoke and the worlds were formed. See, his power is released in the earth today in the very same way that he created the heavens and the earth. And it is our privilege and our honor to release the power of God into the earth today by speaking his words. Psalm 33 verse 6 says this, "The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. He assigned the seas its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs, all by the word of his mouth. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him." Why? Because he's the only one who can speak a word and create a planet. And then in conjunction with that, all the world should revere and fear you because you are in Christ. And now your words carry the same weight and power as Jesus Christ himself. Some of you are already struggling in your brain to believe what I just said. It's absolutely true. I challenge you to study the scriptures. If you would like a copy of my notes from today, feel free to email me. You can go to our website, click on my picture, and send me an email. Verse 9. "For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command." Here's the big idea for this part of the message. The kingdom of God is voice activated. So if we desire kingdom productivity, like you want to be able to produce the good fruit of the kingdom of God in your life, then it's not going to happen unless you learn to speak up and speak out God's word. I'm not I'm not just talking about memorizing scripture and spouting it off from memory. That would be a great place to start, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about tuning your ear into the voice of the Holy Spirit and then speaking what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If you're not familiar with this concept, then I would just encourage you to pick up your Bible and go to the book of John or the book of Acts and start reading it and just saying it out loud. You'll prime the pump, so to speak. Remember what Kirby said? Spirit needs to flow into your soul. So you can open the door to the Holy Spirit by speaking God's written word. If you don't know how to do that, again, pick up your Bible. You could even do Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts. Those are the first five books of the New Testament. You could even go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I don't really care. Pick up the word of God and start speaking it out loud. Most Christians think if they think it, it's good enough, and that's not what the Bible teaches. You've got to think it and speak it. Kingdom of God is voice activated. See, so many Christians and most of the tradition that we were grown up in or raised in, we have a very good theology of the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? God is in control. Right, I can't tell God what to do. And most of us take the doctrine of the sovereignty or the self-sufficiency of God, and here's what we do with it. We say, God is everything, I am nothing, therefore I don't need to do anything. That's not what the Bible teaches. God is everything, I am nothing, but when I got born again, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, then I got taken out of nothingness and put into Christ, who is everything. In the New Testament, it is clear that once you believe in Jesus and put your faith in him, it says your life is no longer yours. You've been put in Christ. So if you can imagine Jesus like this giant Jesus and all of your little people are like little stick figures, once you get born again, you get put inside his big, gigantic Jesus body. That's really cool. And so being in him, every one of us has a voice to speak in agreement with him. The good news is this. You may have never read the Bible. You may have never been to church. You may have never surrendered your life to Christ. But the instant that you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says the law of the Lord gets written on your heart. Talk about a cliff's notes to what Kirby did last week in that message. Oh, it's already written there. It's a great cheat sheet, but it's no cheating going on. You ever have a test when you were in school and they said, you can have a 3x5 note card and write on there everything you can. I became the most perfect handwriting expert. I could write more on a 3x5 card than just about anybody because I thought, this is easier than studying. God wants you to get it so bad, he went ahead and wrote it on your heart. All you've got to do is say, oh, God, through your Holy Spirit, living God, wake me up to your word in my heart so I can speak in agreement with you. So in light of this, that God's kingdom is voice activated, let's make our declaration. We've been doing this for about 4 months now. I am covered by and submitted to the blood of Jesus. Let's try it again. I am covered by and submitted. The blood of Jesus. Man, that's good. Speak it every day. You know where that comes from? All the way back to the Old Testament in the Passover. That blood that they painted over their doorpost was a foretelling of the perfect blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It was prophesying to the truth that when we are covered by and under, submitted to the blood of Jesus, we're completely protected. Death can't touch us. Illness can't touch us. Demonic powers can't touch us. We are free to walk in the kingdom and to exhibit and live in the power and blessing like Carrie talked about in the offering. You can actually walk in the blessings of God. You don't have to wrestle with God. You can agree with God and step into his power and majesty on a daily basis. Let's read another couple of scriptures that are really foundational to me in the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 in the New Living Translation. The tongue, which is what you speak with, can bring death or life. Those who love to talk reap the consequences. I love that because I love to talk. We all love to talk. Even those of you who claim to be introverts love to talk. It just takes you a while to build up enough words to say something. But when those people talk, you better listen because they've been planning it for a long time. What does that mean? What we reap, what we sow, we will reap. You sow seeds with your words. You sow seeds with your words. You're either sowing death or life with every word you speak. You want to talk about getting under conviction trying to write this message? I am a talker. And I struggle with being judgmental of people who don't seem to agree with me on the surface. And I like to mouth off about it. And God says, that's all death speaking. I thought you were a life giver. Conviction hurts, but it heals if you'll embrace it. It's like surgery. It's not just bludgeon you hurt. It's like a scalpel cutting away the negativity from your heart. Yeah, it hurts, but it's good hurt, good pain. I need heart surgery, so to speak, from the Holy Spirit to convict me about my negative words that are speaking death over my own life and those around me. But on the converse, I've learned how to speak life as well. How about you? Come on, man. It may be dry out there, but it's raining in heaven, and God's going to rain down blessings on us. We may not can see it. We may not can perceive it, but the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So quit speaking what you see and start speaking what's written on your heart by the Word of God and begin to see the blessings of God come to pass in your life. You, my friend, without trying to offend you, are the biggest opponent to the activity of God in your life. Not your wife, not your kids, not your next door neighbor who you cannot stand. No, you are the biggest opponent to the activity of the Holy Spirit in your own life. Why is that? Because we keep speaking death instead of life. That neighbor that drives you crazy starts saying, he or she is blessed and highly favored. Not by me yet, but by you, oh God. And so, I'm going to keep saying it till I get into it with you. Can you see what I'm saying? And some people go, oh, that's just all fluff and you don't live in reality. I am the biggest realist I've ever met. I was raised by Buster Snellgrove, who is the biggest realist I've ever met, really. My dad used to say, son, don't get your head so far in the clouds you don't keep your feet on the ground. He'd say, son, we need to pray, but then we got to put feet to our prayers. There's lots of practicality to what I'm teaching. I'm not talking fantasy. I'm not talking foo-foo world. I'm not trying to get you to detach from reality. I'm trying to get you, as Jesus taught his disciples, as we prayed with Julie, bring the kingdom of heaven to your messed up reality. Speak it and watch the world change. Just try it for a second. Just say these words after me. Don't even try to think about what you're repeating. Just do it. Say, I am blessed. Yeah. Oh, let's try one more. This is fun. I am happy. Ooh, turn that frown upside down, because Jesus is coming to your town. Oh, ah. Matthew, he is coming to our town. He's already on the way. He's already made a few preliminary visits. Oh, I know God's everywhere all the time, but I'm saying when he shows up, you'll know it. I believe he was present in this meeting today, don't you? I mean, how can you just sing over and over one word and just be laid out in the presence of God? That's got to be the activity of God. That's not mindless, by the way. That's spiritual. That's getting into a whole different dimension. All you can comprehend with your brain is amen, amen, amen. But what's going on in the Holy Spirit realm is totally good. Matthew 21, these are more, two scriptures on the power of words. Y'all may know this, but if not, you can go read the whole passage later. But here's the highlights. Jesus is walking along. He wanted a fig off of a tree. The tree had lots of leaves and no fruit. And he said, I curse you and you die. Jesus answered to them and said, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, just by words, he killed the thing. But even if you say, that means speaking, to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. It will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Let me tell you why I didn't get a lot of shouts after it said, say to this mountain, be taken and cast into the sea. Because too many people have said, been there, done that, and it didn't work. Well, I'm not trying to scold you or anything, but it does say you can't doubt and get it. James says the same thing. A double-minded person should expect to receive nothing from the Lord. Zilcho. Nada. Zero. Who's in charge of whether you get to receive from God or not? I am now. Jesus did everything that he could do to get you blessed. Now, all you need to do is clean out your dirty mind. And I'm not just talking about what you think a dirty mind is. I'm talking about death and negativity and pessimism and skepticism and all the other isms. How about you get some positive isms?
Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't believe in the power of positive thinking.
Well, did you read the Bible? Positive thinking doesn't deny the facts. It just believes the truth. The truth of the scripture and the truth of what's going on in heaven, which, by the way, is what we're supposed to release in the earth. We're not supposed to look at the earth and release more of that. We're supposed to look into heaven and by words and faith release that into this earth and counteract the darkness. Well, there's two foundational scriptures for the power of words. Jesus spoke and things happened. He was there in the beginning when the worlds were created. It says he was even crucified in the eyes of God before the foundations of the world were ever laid. Yeah, think on that. Selah. Jesus spoke and things happened. And he told us to do the same thing. You think you're a mess? You should have been one of his disciples. They were really messed up people. It should give every one of us hope. We should have more hope than anybody when we look at Peter, James, and John, and Luke, and Matthew. Those people were so messed up. It gives me hope every day. And then on the same note, people should be able to look at me and say, he is so messed up, that gives me hope every day. If God could use a goofy guy like Pastor Brad, he could certainly use me. I've got more on the ball than he does. That's about 90% of the world. Romans 10:9, y'all need to hone in right here. For all of you good evangelical Christians, I'm about to give you something you can bite on and chew up. If you confess with your what? Mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a person believes, I believe we learned about the heart last week, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Here's how I like to say it. The way in is the way on. What does that mean? How did you get saved? You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. You spoke. Is that up there? Yeah, right there. Confess, speak. But first you got to believe. You got to believe it. You can't say something until you believe it. What does it say? I believed in Jesus, and then I spoke that he was my Lord, and I got saved. Evangelical Christians, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, there's more Baptists than that in here. Come on. Once saved, always saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That was for you, Mama. I do believe it. But the way in is simple. I believe it, I say it. What's the next step God wants you to take in your life? You need to believe it and say it. You go, well, I don't have any idea. Well, let's go back to that simple one. God wants me to be blessed. So I've got to believe that. So I go, I don't believe. Help me in my unbelief. But even though I'm struggling, I can at least say the word says God wants me to be blessed like Abraham, the father of faith. He says he wants you to walk in every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the whole crew of godly people in the scriptures. God wants you to be blessed. He does not want you to live in the poorhouse. He does not want you to be begging bread from anybody. In fact, the word of God says the righteous never beg for bread. They're always walking in blessing. Now, can you say it? I am blessed. Can you say it tomorrow morning? Can you say it Tuesday? What about Wednesday? By about Thursday, you probably need to tune into the podcast and listen again, because most of your fuel got run out by there. Unless you've been doing this for about 30 years, it's a little bit hard to stay on the positive confession, because the world is bombarding you with negativity. The enemy has got a big old stick and he's trying to beat you in the face every morning with negativity. That's why I say, only listen to the news for 5 minutes a day and be in the Word of God for 5 hours a day. Why? Because you need to believe the Lord's report. The news is just on a repeating cycle, I promise. If you just watch 5 minutes, you'll know what's going on in the world, and most of it might not even be true. I thank God for news in its purest form. But I have a little bit of trouble with all the news we get today. Most of it is not really news. It's terrorism, okay? So it's trying to terrorize you. It's trying to scare you to death to promote an agenda. I'm gonna believe the Lord's report. How about you? What did I say 3-4 months ago when we started going into stay-at-home orders and all this? Today is no different than any other day in the kingdom of God. You got to stand on the word. You got to speak the word. You got to believe it, speak it, receive it, and say it over and over, because this is the report that matters. The news isn't telling the truth. The people around you aren't telling the truth. Unless they're born again, white hot, messed up, crazy believers like you, they are not telling you the truth. I tell my kids this all the time. It's hard to find real Christian friends, but if you find one, keep them. And when you find them, you need to relate around the word of God and the purposes of God, not the things of this world. And if you do that, you're going to be so blessed. Everybody's going to be running to your house saying, what did you do? What's going on over there? Y'all are happy. You're so happy, you're annoying me. So let me get back to this. The way in, what did you do? You believed and confessed. What's the next step? Most of you in here are believers for a long time. You know what God's telling you. You're just struggling with it. The next step for you is, have you believed it? You go, I believe it. Start saying it out loud. I don't care if it's just you and your dog driving around the park or walking around the park. Say it out loud. Everybody's going to think you're crazy. They already think you're crazy anyway. You might as well get good and crazy. I'm out there speaking God's word. You know what? I'm a preacher, right? God put that in me when I was about 16. I didn't really understand it until I got to be about 20-something and made it real clear to me. But when I lived alone in the trailer house, I planted trees all around my house. When nobody else would listen to me, I spoke God's word to the trees. I spoke God's word to the grass. Once I got a dog, I preached to that dog. Preach, church, preach. God gave me this word just a little while ago. He says, as many as we're going to reach, everybody's going to need to preach. Y'all all need to learn how to preach the word of God. I'm not talking about doing this. This is just what a few really weird people do. But speak God's word to one another. What does it say in the first five books of the law? It said, write it on the doorpost, tie it on your finger, put it on your visor, something like that. The way you got saved is you believed and you confessed. The way you're supposed to walk forward in the kingdom of God is you're going to believe and confess. The way in is the way on. Now, I believe adequately, hopefully, we've established that you have to speak out what you believe in order for it to happen in this world. It's not enough. Y'all are going to think this is blasphemy. It's not enough for God to have spoken to you.
Well, that's blasphemy. God is sovereign.
No, in God's sovereignty, he chose not to release it into your life until you speak it out loud in agreement with him. Silent prayers aren't enough. Out loud. I could do more, but I need to move on. The kingdom of God is voice activated. If we desire kingdom productivity, it's not going to happen unless you speak up. Now, there's a specific thing I think God wants us to end here in just a minute with. I'm going to give you a foretaste here. God's wanting us to release faith into our church today. We're going to need to use our words in just a minute to do that. See, I don't think we're just biding time until Jesus returns. I think we're doing something on purpose right here, right now. I learned a long time ago, if I'm sitting in the church building receiving the word of God, when I say amen or yes, or I say something out loud, it opens my heart to receive it. I'm agreeing. Amen means so be it. So you know how Mary, the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby out of wedlock, and she was supposed to get excited about that? You're going to be ridiculed and persecuted and said that you're not a good, pure woman for the purpose of God. And what did she say? She said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Here's a short form of that. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen. Learn to use your mouth for something other than cursing. I'm not talking about bad words. I don't like those either. But curses are a lot more than a list of dirty words. Cursing means you speak negatively over anything. Of all people on this planet right now, the church should be speaking up, not hiding in fear. Hiding in fear. Speak up! Not right now. I'm not telling you right now. I'm talking to some of the heavenlies. Church, speak up. All right. But to get an agreement, enough to speak in agreement, we need to understand one more thing. That's your position of authority, power, and dominion. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them, who? Adam and Eve. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And all the men love that scripture, okay, for very good reasons. All right, then he goes into this, and rule over the fish, rule. That's a big word right there, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God gave authority, power, and dominion over the earth to mankind, to Adam and Eve. Are y'all aware of that? They were in charge of the whole globe. You think you're under satanic attack? The devil came right to Eve. You don't know attack. Try being Eve. in the beginning. And God says, oh, I put these two cool people on the earth and they get to rule over all of it. And Satan had already been cast down to the earth thinking, well, I got it made. I'm going to rule the earth. Y'all read your Bible? Can't preach all that, but it's in there. And then he gets mad. Who? The devil. He comes right after the weakest link. And Adam was supposed to protect her. He didn't. They both made really bad choices, spoke in agreement with Satan, dishonored God, disbelieved God, and guess who won authority, power, and dominion over the earth? Satan. Right there in the beginning. You're going, well, this isn't fun. This isn't good news. No, I'm getting to the good news. Jesus had an affectionate name from heaven, Last Adam. Why was he the last Adam? Because he came to redo what the first Adam couldn't do right. That's why he became a man, to repair what man had broken. If you want to read about that, 1 Corinthians 15 is a good place to start. See, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came and purchased back authority, power, and dominion over all of the earth through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then when he ascended, what he won, he released back into all who would call upon his name. He restored mankind, to mankind, what Adam had given away. I know we're in lots of theological wonderment today. Stay with me. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are now in Christ. Remember the little stick figures in the big Jesus? That's you. Being in Christ, we now have authority, power, and dominion over the whole earth. What was given to Adam was repurchased in Jesus, and we're in Jesus. Now we have authority and dominion over the whole earth. Say amen, somebody. Amen. The reason it's hard to say amen to that is because you feel like the earth is punching you in the jaw every day. Put up your defenses. If you're going to get in the ring, you better put on the armor. Ephesians 6, I can't preach that, but go to our YouTube channel and watch what I taught at Bravehearts recently. And we didn't just get authority over the earth. When Jesus does something, he always does it better. He always goes higher and greater. Jesus added to our position of authority, power, and dominion. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, you have also been given authority, power, and dominion in the heavenlies. You not only get to rule the earth, you get to rule the heavens. You need to go read it. It says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, name that's ever been named, power, dominion. Everything is under your feet because you're in Christ and he got big feet. I wish I could convince you of this. What's taken me 25 years to come to faith about, I believe you can get in 5 minutes if you just open your heart and believe. God doesn't intend for you to take a long, crooked journey. He wants to give you the fast track to power, authority, dominion in the kingdom of heaven. But you've got to believe it. Look at the screen. So in Christ, we have authority. Say authority. Authority. Power. Power. Dominion. Dominion. Over the earth and the heavens. The problem is not what Jesus did, it's we don't believe it. Today's message, kingdom productivity, do you want to be productive in establishing the kingdom of heaven on the earth right here, right now? Yes. Of course you do. Of course you do. You're a Christian. Whether you can even say yes to that or not, you're a Christian. You want to do what I'm preaching. Because every Christian wants to fulfill their destiny in the kingdom of God. So we've got to understand the authority, power, dominion, and we got to understand that that authority, power, and dominion are voice activated. That's why you need to watch your words. I remember one time we got, you know how people get excited when the prophet comes to church and we're going to get a word? You remember, people just, they'll line up. They'll stand in line like, I mean, it's like when Krispy Kreme opened up. People lined up all around. When the prophet comes to church, people line up like it's a brand new Krispy Kreme coming to town because they want a word. You know, and it's always frustrated me as a pastor. I go, well, if you'd listen to me, you wouldn't have to stand in line. I've been telling you that for 3 years. But I'm not mad at anybody. We'll support the prophet because they're good people. Well, here's what I'm trying to get at. Got to watch the time. One time when the prophet came to church, basically the only thing he told me and Julie was, watch the words between you. Because we were killing each other, fighting. I don't know, what do you think? First 6 years, well, Julie says 10 years. I can't go that far. We fought. God, if there's anything I regret, it's that. I think my 20-year-old has finally gotten over those negative words he had to hear his dad scream at his sweet little mother who didn't deserve any of that. Hey, I'm telling you, things are getting accelerated. It's not going to take 20 years. It's not going to take 15 years. It's going to take a few minutes because God is ready to do something great in your life. Watch the words between you is our prophetic word. Yippee. Come on, man. I won't just say I'm going to be loaded, you know, with money or something. He's like, yeah, you're loaded down with negativity. Stop it. Kingdom, the kingdom of God is voice activated. So I had to get rid of all that before we could step into this. And I know you're much better people than me. And if God can use a sinner like me who's been redeemed and now is not a sinner but a saint, he can use you. You're going to have to speak up in the realm of the spirit. And if you don't know how to do that, come on, man, come down here in a minute and receive prayer. Set up an appointment with one of our pastors. We want to help people get there, but I don't know which one of you knows how to do this or not. Speak up and say, I don't know how to do that. I like your sermon. Could you teach me? You bet. I'll invite you to one of our prayer meetings. There's a specific thing I believe God wants to do in our church today. God wants to release faith into our church. We're going to need to use our words to do that. Two more scriptures, and then we're going to get the job done. Mark 11, 22 in the Passion Translation. This Passion Translation is very wordy, but in these two specific scriptures, it got it perfectly translated. And I personally love the New American Standard. That's my preaching Bible. I hold it close to my heart. But it didn't get it right in these two passages. In Mark 11, 22, Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. What the New American Standard says is, have faith in God, which to a bunch of performance-minded human beings sounds like work harder. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, receive faith. He's saying, receive God's faith. Let it be in you. Do y'all think God has a lot of faith? Yes. He must. He picked you. Oh, I meant to say he picked me, but I'm tired of picking on myself, so I'm going to pick on you for a little bit. I got to watch those words, don't I? Come on, y'all. Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give you the keys of heaven's realm, of heaven's kingdom realm. Now, do you know how you use your keys? Your mouth. It's like speaking to Alexa. Alexa, play Rattle by Elevation. It goes, Rattle! It's on repeat in my office right now. If y'all want to jam out between services, meet me in my office. I'm going to be back there going, Rattle! There's only room for about 10 people in my office, so first come, first serve. And most of you are going, no thanks, it's lunch after this. Okay, so I'll give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. To do what? To forbid on earth that which is already forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. That's what the New American Standard is, binding and loosing. And everybody's like, what is binding? What is loosing? Well, this makes it real clear, doesn't it? You get to forbid on earth what's already forbidden in heaven. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Cancer. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Disease. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Poverty. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Racism. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Prejudice. You know what's forbidden in heaven? Divorce and backbiting and anger and dissension. That's all forbidden, and we get to forbid it with our words on earth. But then the cool thing is we get to release the opposite. We get, instead of lustful things and thoughts, we get to release purity into our families. We get to release reconciliation and stick-to-itiveness, faithfulness in marriage. We get to release the kingdom, love and joy and peace. We get to do it with our words. Oh, it's not just enough to stand around being like a, you know, have you ever been around those people like, how are you doing today? Blessed. I mean, they got this like weird thing going, you know. I'm not talking about being some weird charismatic freak, okay? I am a charismatic freak. I don't mind telling you, but you don't have to be weird about it. Like if somebody says, how you doing? That's a greeting. They're not asking you to make a public confession of your faith. They're just, how you doing? Man, we're doing great. I'm so glad you asked, how are you? That's appropriate. But in your life with the people you live with, I'm not talking about preaching to everybody. Don't go to lunch and go, I'm going to, you know. Hey, here's what I do at lunch. I take that processed food and I say, I sanctify you by the word of God and prayer, and I declare over you, cheeseburger, you're going to build me up, not hurt me. There is no heart disease in this one. Y'all don't think I do it? You want to have good meals? Come eat with me. It all tastes better when I get done with it. I say, this is going to help me and not harm me. I haven't changed my diet at all, and I'm losing weight. Hallelujah. I'm getting really off. Maybe second service will be better, but it's been fun here. So here's what we came to do with all that in mind. The kingdom's voice activated. You've got authority and dominion. Now let's get the job done. Ready? Stand to your feet. We're going to do this, and then Pastor Kirby's going to come out with the part of the worship team and help you apply this message. But we've got to do our job. It's going to be on the screen. Just say this with me. You ready? I receive faith from God. Say it again. I receive faith from God. Now next, I release faith into our church today. Come on, say it again. I release faith into our church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow.